You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet, get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim, live in Green Bay. We got Emilio in Tennessee, Mr. Milwaukee Tools himself. And we got Jacob the Beard on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. Got the cleanest beard this side of the Mississippi or that side of the Mississippi. I can't remember. Wisconsin's on the other side of the Mississippi, right, Tim?
That's correct.
According to who?
Well, that's a good question.
Depends on, yeah. You're either east
we're
or west.
On the same side. We're on the same side of the Mississippi.
All right, cool. There you go. We got a couple creeks here. I don't know about no Mississippi, but we got a couple creeks. Let's do this. Since we're off to a strong start here, let's just go ahead and knock this out. Let's go around the horn here real quick. Before we dive into the stuff we're going to talk about, I want to get just kind of test everyone's pulse. And if you ain't got nothing, it's totally cool. But how are we feeling? We're, 2 days away from the draft, right? 2 days out. How are we feeling about the draft? I'll start with you, Tim. First thing that comes to mind other than Enos Rake-Straldrew.
The first thing that comes to mind is get ready for Goody to prove us all wrong.
Yes.
And I don't care what you think or what your feelings are. My money's on he's going to do something that none of us have charted or have any perspective on. I still think there's a chance we trade back. Depending on how the first 10 to 12 picks, 15 picks go in the draft, we could trade up. I don't know. I do think that if we draft at 25, it will be probably somebody on the O-line or somebody on the D-line. That's my gut. But, I'm excited, man. It's draft week. It's here. Two more sleeps, as they say. And it's draft day. And I'm just looking forward to finding out. Like, we've waited. We've done so many mocks. We've been up and down so many times. I just can't wait till we have those players and we know – Who's a new Packer, you know? It's going to be an exciting week.
Absolutely. Emilio, we'll go with you now, man. Just want to kind of get your take. We're getting a little bit of feedback. I went through and muted everybody. It sounds like it's coming from you, Emilio.
Well, of course.
Go ahead and talk, see if it sounds all right, and tell me what you're thinking about the draft here. We'll cut you off rudely if it is.
You might as well just cut me off now then because I don't know what else to say because I just can't wait, man. I'm Thursday needs to come, but that Friday is going to be wild. Maybe Goody trades out of the first and we just tear up the next 2 days. Maybe, you know, if Dallas takes Grant Barton and, you know, Latham's gone, he doesn't like the corners, whatever, but it's too close to being here where it's like, I just needed to kind of fast forward. I kind of need to get through tomorrow really quickly. And then Thursday, just hammer it out because then it's game time.
Yeah. I know it's exciting, man. All the information coming down the pipe. It is you that's giving a little bit of static, Emilio. So if you want to try to kill the camera, see if you can fix it real quick. We'll get Emilio back on here in a minute. But Jacob, what do you think, man? How you feeling? I know there's all the talking heads are making their predictions right now. I had a couple people approach me on Twitter and they were asking me who you think we're going to take. I'm not even going to try to guess. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I think I know what's going on. But, you know, we've got some of the good fits, obviously. I seen Rob Domofsky, if I understood correctly, they did their ESPN mock draft where all the insiders for each team makes their pick. And I think Rob Domofsky said Graham Barton. I believe, if I remember correctly. But what do you think, Jacob? How you feel 48 hours out, man?
That is a possum in a dumpster.
That's perfect.
That says it right there. No, I'm weirdly calm, man. It's like we've talked about how we've never really been, or it, personally, I've never been this prepared for a draft before. Like I've actually done my due diligence, man. If I spent half as much of this effort into like my homework when I was going to school, man, I'd be a 4.0 student, bro. I'd be getting up on them scholarships. But to be honest, man, Do Your Rant says it the same. It's like 2 days until Christmas, man. This is, I am so excited. I don't know how to express it into words. They say, Boz, why y'all making fun? I bought a bunch of really fly t-shirts from the Walmart because I thought y'all would like them. Now I'm just getting a lot of heat. All right. So
that's the way it is, man. I don't know what to tell you, dude.
This was an interesting one. Coach Len, I personally love Xavier Leggett. Eric Southern, if he's in the chat, I know that's gonna bite me in the butt. This guy is an unbelievably talented wide receiver, and he's from way down there in, I think he's Louisiana, like real deep Louisiana. The guy has
this accent
that is so amazing, that is so beautiful, that like I just want him to be a Green Bay Packer, because I think that like people think that the Wisconsin's kind of like up there, northern tundra, like for most of the year, for like 3/4 of the year, we are the deep South hillbillies. Like we are just a bunch of, that's all we do, man. It's just all we do. So I would love Xavier. I don't know what round we'd get him in. It's probably one of those that I wouldn't be okay with unless he fell to like the 4th, 5th, probably for sure. But
I love that. It's going to be interesting. I had a tweet I was going to share. We'll do that here in a little bit. Let me go ahead and drop that down since we're kind of kicking off with Xavier Leggett. What they're talking about, obviously, is Easton Butler tweeted out, the Packers hosted South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett on a top 30 visit per Justin M underscore NFL. So, obviously, Xavier Leggett, like Jacob said, got the best accent in the draft. There's no two ways about that. When you start talking about, okay, what was he ranked? It really depends on who you listen to, right? Like on my board, I am really I'm kind of low on Leggett, to be honest with you. I'm going to try to get it updated here and go ahead and add in the fact that it was a top 30 visit and a Senior Bowl participant. So he's one of those guys for sure. He does not meet the maximum threshold, but when you look at him on my vertical board, I've got Xavier Leggett in the 166 spot, so significantly lower. Now, what brings him down, and I double-checked this, his PFF grade in 2022, he was the 911th ranked wide receiver, according to PFF grade in 2022. If you remove the 2022 grade, he was the 37th highest graded receiver last year. He was 41st on the consensus big board at the time. He was 83rd on the 33rd team. And he came in 49 spot on Daniel Jeremiah's top 50. So if you were to remove that, his number is going to be significantly better. Honestly, if I looked at it in that regard there, what would it be? Let's see where it would place him. If we went with that average there, you're probably looking at somewhere in the 40 range. So if his point total was 40 without the 2022 grade, that would put him about the 24th spot on my board. That's how big of a difference it is, right? So just something to kind of take into consideration. Really what it comes down to is how much weight do you put in the PFF grades, right? And is it important to have a couple of years of good grades as opposed to just one, right? That's really what it comes down to. Let's share the screen here and let's go to the – would you guys rather see the consensus big board or would you rather see the PFF board on him?
What do you think, Jacob?
I mean, both. Let's go both. I mean, let's start with PFF.
Let's do PFF first.
All right. So here he is on the PFF board. All right. So obviously Xavier Leggett here. Let's see if we can get him a little bit closer.
There's a guy.
Yeah, so out of South Carolina, 23 years old, 6'3", 227 is the measurables they had on him. I don't know if that's accurate or not. We can kind of cross-check it with some other sites in a minute. You guys see in 2021, the PFF grade on 239 snaps was only a 58.7. In 2022, 261 snaps for a 56.5. And then in 2023, 636 snaps for a grade of 82.5, making him the 35th highest graded wide receiver. He's a sophomore, evidently. You know, that stuff gets a little wonky with the COVID stuff. It says, Leggett does not have too much experience as the focal point of a passing attack, but 2023 showed he is capable of that. He is not as polished a route runner slash release artist as he needs to be to achieve his potential at the NFL level, but teams take a chance on players of his build. So just go around the horn with it here. How do we feel about it? Yeah, Jake says you got him at 6'1", if I'm reading that correctly. So obviously the 6'3 is exactly.
How crazy is that? That like with PFF, we all agree is like maybe hands down one of the best sites, whatever you want to call it, companies, organizations that actually have these guys like graded, but they can't get the height and the weight right. Like it's such a weird thing because you can go to like, me and Emilio have talked about how we like NFL Draft Buzz. I love that site. And they seem to do almost a better job than PFF. And it's like, why? How? Like,
such how? An easy thing,
right?
It should be such an easy thing. But yeah, 6'1", 221 for the get. And like we've talked about, I love that. Just his personality seems like he's going to fit in like a puzzle piece. Like it's just perfect. And other than that, though, I'll be honest, like, you know, I don't know where he would fit. And to be honest, William Gold says it good here. He goes, is he better than we already have at wide receiver? I don't know. And since I don't know, I would say that probably I'd err on the side of like, nah, we probably shouldn't. And we have so many other like glaring needs, in my opinion, safety, cornerback, interior offensive line, tackle, linebacker. I'd love to have a guy that has that much talent. And if he falls to us, then cool. But I think we need other things before that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think a lot of Packer fans feel the same way. We're not opposed to snagging a receiver in the draft, but I think all of us would prefer it be, you know, sixth or seventh round after we take care of a little bit more positional needs. But we do have to remember that, you know, it's not always about necessarily positional need. It's about best available sometimes too, and sometimes a draft kind of forces you to play your hand, and you kind of got to take somebody on the board. We've talked about that before. But as far as Xavier Leggett, the thing that stuck out to me a little bit, he's really good at the catch point. He's got good hands, but he does struggle with routes. He's kind of limited with routes, his route running ability, and struggles to get separation at time. I've seen more than a few, write-ups on his separation. So that's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, you know, he's not going to alarm anybody and be a top 10 pick or anything. So that's to be expected, but it is something to kind of keep an eye on. 6'1", 221, I believe is his measurables. He's an athletic freak. That's good. But you know, we got to be aware of some of the negatives too, just to be honest and keep it balanced. So I don't know if he'd be like a massive improvement to our wide receiver room, but that's the whole point. We don't know. For all we know, he could be, you know. So looks like a guy that Goody would like to draft, though, when you look at this RAS, you know.
I'm just saying this guy could catch all the catfish out of Wisconsin rivers. I know that for a fact. He's the coolest.
Well, we need guy. Him to catch footballs, Jacob.
Do we though? I mean,
so the RAS card, this is from the website. I just now clicked on it. A 990 on the RAS, hand size 9, height 6'1", even is what it's saying. That's a composite score or a great, yeah, composite size grade there. As far as height goes, a 6.38. The weight, 221, gives him a 9.52. Bench press, 24 reps. That's pretty impressive for a 9.91 grade. His vertical jump, 40 inches for a 9.61. Broad jump is 10.06 for a grade of 8.72. 40-yard dash, 4.39 speed for a grade of 9.53, 20 yard split of 2.61, which is a grade of 7.27, and a 10 yard split of 1.57 for a grade of 7.34, which tells you it takes him a little longer to get up to speed, right? I mean, that's not horrible, 10 yard and 20 yard split. But he's definitely got that top end speed, right? Coach Lynn in the chat said. Coach Lynn in the chat said he's a war daddy. I love it. That's our new saying here on PTA for sure. We're going to steal that from Coach LaFleur. Emilio, what do you got on him, man? I know you're over doing some digging, bub.
Yeah, I was poking around on Draft Buzz. They say he's a contested catch specialist, thriving on physicality and strong hands. That he excels on vertical routes with combination of size, athleticism, and body control. So that he kind of needs to work on, he is comfortable in traffic, but has a little bit of lack of effort. But everything else besides that, man, the dude wants to play football. They have him overall rank of 52, position rank 13. That just shows how many, like, the dude has top end speed, top end vert, and he's 13th ranked in this draft, which is crazy. There's just so many good receivers here. And like we said, if it happens that he falls to us, whatever. But 30 different or 20 different points versus mock draft there, him being at 32.
Definitely. And the consensus big board has him in the 30. I'm sorry, not 32. They've got him in the 35 spot. He peaked at number 2. So if we were to click on him, let's kind of see when he peaked. He peaked back in December. So going into December, whatever happened, I don't know.
Wrong guy. You're on Xavier Worthy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shoot. Got the wrong one. Xavier Leggett. Here we go. So he's in the 44 spot. Thank you, Jacob. He peaked at 34. Okay. So he's currently in the 44 spot, peaked at 34. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, he's currently 44th. Mm-hmm. So when he peaked was back in January, right here in this range probably. Yeah. So it says he peaked at 34. It's showing on January 23rd being the highest on the chart in the 35 spot. You get into March, for whatever reason, March 23rd, he dropped significantly. He went down from 57 to 94th and then slowly climbed back up. Obviously, now he's back in the 44 spot. So when you look at where he was mocked at, too, drop that off there. He was mocked 34. To the New England Patriots. So that was a 7% mock draft popularity. So you're probably looking at early to just second round, right, is what it's looking like for Leggett. So, and again, I think what it comes down to, you got that top end speed. We showed you the 10-yard to 20-yard split wasn't the strength of the 40-yard dash for him. However, it was still enough to get that motor going, and he's got some top end speed. It's just, I don't know, man. There's still a few questions. I guess the question is, are we willing to take him with a second round pick? I know my answer is no. So, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'd have to fall to the fourth or fifth. And I think he could. I really do think that, because people just, this is such. Wait, you said,
sorry, Jacob. Clayton, you said 33rd team had him at 83.
Let me see here on my vertical.
He's at 91 now. So he must have dropped.
Well,
on 33rd, according to 33rd team, they got him 11th overall as a wide receiver, 91st overall right now. Gotcha. So that may have changed recently.
It could have. I wish they showed a chart too, just to kind of track that. Yeah. But yeah, I've got him in the, like I said, the 166 spot on my vertical board. At the time that I took the 33rd team data down, he was 83rd at that moment. Now, keep in mind, they were still building their board out, but they try to key in on some of the more important prospects first, which tells you a lot about what they think about them. So,
go ahead, Jacob. I'm sorry. I cut Jacob off.
No, you're fine. I was actually just going to basically bring up this type of comment, which is Deadfish. He says, kind of a Watson type receiver, don't you think? With Watson being hurt so much, maybe they want to have a backup. That think of the pressure Watson puts on defense. I kind of agree. I kind of disagree. I don't think he's the same body type. I think he's much more of a solid, just standalone X, like one of those like Andre Johnson types, like one of those, you know, just a very physical wide receiver. The only other thing that I think about here is like what John said. It's like, if he's the odd man out, or if we draft him, who else is leaving the Packers organization? Guys, we've talked about how much we love the wide receiver group here in this,
Samari Touré.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say, Tim. Is it'd probably have to be a guy that I personally love him. I love him to death. I really do. I believe he was a Nebraska guy, if I'm not mistaken. Love the guy to death, but just it's at that point now where we maybe do have to start thinking about the fact. And I think it was maybe Joe, Coach Lynn, somebody said that we haven't had this type of like XL receiver in a minute. So, you know, Alan Lazard was that type of guy, but he didn't have that speed. He did not have that kind of like, you know, get off the ball type stuff. So it's intriguing, but I don't see it actually happening. It's just fun to think about.
Yeah. I was trying to pull up where Daniel Jeremiah had him real quick.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, keep declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And let's see what he has to say about him. Because, again, I was shown in the 49 spot. That may have been the early grade there. And you guys know I lean on the early grades and won't change them. Yeah, he's currently sitting in the 49 spot. This is what Daniel Jeremiah said about him. Leggett is thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. Muscled up receiver with impressive top speed and toughness. He relies on physicality more than quickness to power through press coverage. He isn't a polished route runner, but he can build speed and win 50-50 balls. He has reliable hands, and he has a nice blend of speed and toughness after the catch. He plays much faster with the ball in his hands. Overall, Leggett doesn't offer a full complement of routes, but he can do damage with his select few. So, Tim, you hit the nail on the head. It's just an unfinished route runner, but someone who's just got a ton of physical ability, right?
Yep. So
that's really what it comes down to. At 6 foot one, if he was 6 foot three, you'd feel a lot better about him.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe, like I said, maybe his family hacked PFF's website. I don't know, but you got to do what you got to do. To, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying type
of thing. We brought Dre Miller into camp last year. You guys remember that? We were kind of looking for receiver bodies at camp, and he was that type of guy, right? A little limited with the route running, but could stretch the field, bigger, good hands type of guy, and just didn't find his way onto the team, you know? So I would think if Leggett does, in fact, get drafted by the Packers, he's going to be competing with, you know, the bottom depth chart guys for sure.
No, I think it's a great point. Deadfish in the chat said he just needs Wick's school of route running. Absolutely. If you get a player like that and he is willing to put in the time, put in the effort, and have the coachability to, you know, extend that route tree and become a great route runner, my goodness, man, sky's the freaking limit for someone like that. It sounds like he's got a lot of physical talent and ability. So, obviously, the consensus big board has him right there in the same range at 44 that Daniel Jeremiah does. So that's probably a more realistic spot than where I've got him at 166. But again, my board isn't about being right. My board is about take all the information you can. Essentially, what you've got with my board, especially my horizontal board, the vertical board will tell you everything, but the horizontal board is basically saying these prospects at the top are the safest prospects, right? It means they checked all the boxes. It doesn't mean GMs are going to go with that pick. It doesn't mean they're going to be the better player. It just simply means they have less flaws. And you guys know my boring personality. That's how I approach everything in life is, you know, play it safe, prepare for the worst, hope for the best type thing. I would much rather take a safer prospect than swinging for the fences. You know, that's just me personally. So,
can I point something out right here? Like, these grouping right there, though, Ladd McConkie, Xavier Worthy, Franklin, Coleman, Leggett, Pearsall, Wilson. That is a and if you go down even more, Malachi Corley is supposedly one of the best guys with the balls in his hand. Like, once he's a yak, absolute freak. So I think this may be one of those years where it's like, it's so deep at wide receiver. And I've read many articles. I've seen many draft experts, quote unquote, say that they think that from here on out, it's just going to be wide receiver crazy. Like, wide receivers are going to be just a plethora of undeniable talent to the point where it's like, why do we take them in the first round, the second round? We can find guys, in my opinion, if you don't mind scrolling up right there, like Roman Wilson, Pearsall, I've heard is one of the best. Malik Washington at 99, I've been told, and I've seen him. He's maybe the most dynamic player I've ever seen with the ball in his hands. Like, not ever, but like in this draft, he's insane. Jermaine Burton, we've talked about that. Devontae Walker, big body wide receiver that is a possession wide receiver. He's at 91. On most, you know, drafts, he could be in the top 20, like easily. Right.
So you mentioned Malik Washington. He's sitting in the 129 spot on my board simply because of the 2022 PFF grade as well. In 2023, he was the third highest graded wide receiver in
college. That's what I'm saying.
And here's what's crazy. An 8-plus RAS is what I have on file. It may have changed, may have shifted a little bit with the, you know, exact measurements coming in. But also, Greg Cosell absolutely loves Malik Washington. So that's in my notes here for sure. Let's see. I think we had a note here too. Yeah, what Greg Cosell said was he just knows how to get open, what he said. So,
little guy. Cool. Yeah. 5'9", right? 5'9",
5'10"? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Is he?
Let's see if we can pull it up real quick.
Yeesh.
Yeesh. Yeah, we can't get the height.
5'8".
No.
That's the one.
4'4", 7".
That's the one that Greg Cosell said, you're not going to use him on the boundary. I remember him saying that. He's going to be kind of that slot guy, these jet sweep type guy. He's a dude that can create separation. You know what it sounds like? And I know he's bigger than 5'8". The way he's describing him
is Randall.
a little bit of Randall Cobb, a little bit of Jaden Reed, to be honest with you. Now, the difference with Jaden Reed was he could play Z. He played the hell out of Z in college, especially 2 years, you know, the year before he came out in the draft. But, yeah, I can't believe we're talking about wide receivers 2 days before the draft.
Hey, we've been on this for like a minute now. And it's legit. It's legit.
It's important, like what you were saying, Jacob, because – this is what shapes the draft. You know, people, I don't want to hear quarterbacks. I don't want to hear wide receivers. I get you. I don't either. But when you're heavy in a draft at those specific positions, that's what's going to determine what falls in the Packers' lap too. So when you were talking about these receivers, what I want you guys to key in on here, we're down here in the hunters, right? Let's pick up right here. Look at how many peaked. Look at the peak right here. Oof. McCaffrey, wow. He peaked at 65. Look at Jacob Cowing. Wow. He peaked at 21. Brendan Rice peaked at 63. Johnny Wilson peaked at 67. Malik Washington peaked at 61. Jermaine Burton peaked at 42. Devontae Walker peaked at 35. Javon Baker, 84. Jalen McMillan, 64. You see what I'm saying? Like, these guys are outside of the top 50 now, but at some point, they were well within the top 50 in most cases. Just wild. So, Keon Coleman at one point was considered the best prospect in the draft according to the consensus big board. He's sitting in the 40 spot now. So it's people are going to be able to get a really, really good wide receivers in the second round. There's two things you can say to that. And we talk about it all the time, Tim. Like, if you get a heavy receiver class, other than the guys that are considered like those blue chippers, those, you know, day one starter type players, teams are looking at this going, you know what? we can address receiver in the next round. And now what happens is those receivers start to fall.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a situation where in the second or third round, Goody takes a wide receiver because the value is just too good. He may have someone that's two or three tiers higher than where you're currently picking. You know, that's the beauty of the draft for sure. So, all right. With that being said, we're sitting here talking about rookie receivers, right? Or potential rookie receivers. Why don't we do this? We got a video that the Packers posted on their Twitter account, I think it was earlier today or yesterday, talking about the impact that the rookies made last year. Why don't we key that up real quick and check it out?
I haven't been a part of a draft where we've added that many new pieces. Really excited about the group overall.
We got a lot of young guys. It's a really good roster, winning roster.
A lot of confidence in this team.
That's exciting to draft two tight ends. Both those guys are big, physical, fast.
I've always been ready to get in the huddle and play football. I didn't know I'd be a third-round draft pick, but I knew I could play in the NFL.
Leaping, end zone, touchdown, Tucker Kraft.
Can't go through, go over.
Certainly having a lot of youth, the dog mentality, is exciting.
For the receiver group, we made it a standard. It really don't matter about age.
Touchdown, the rookie Dontayvion Wicks.
I've been playing ball my whole life, and I still don't think I've scratched the surface of what I could be.
These four rookies were responsible for 20 touchdowns last season. Jaden Reed led all Packers with 10 TDs of his own, highlighting a stellar rookie campaign. With the draft right around the corner, Brian Gutekunst is looking for even more young talent, perhaps some that can make an impact day one.
A lot of the success we've had, I think, you know, the last couple of years, I think just been a lot of opportunity. You know, the opportunity can lead to these guys getting to where they've gotten to so quickly.
Dontayvion Wicks, oh my goodness.
We're asking of these guys that we pick to come in and be positive contributors to our football team. The last couple of years, there was just a ton of opportunities for these guys to go seize, and credit to them, they did.
Leaping grab, touchdown, Jaden Reed.
That's what we're trying to create as we move forward, is just making sure that there's always going to be opportunities for guys to excel.
This receiving is tough.
Perfect job, Tim. Absolutely perfect job. So, again, no one here is saying that, hey, man, we need to go out and address receiver. It's just, it's so deep. I wouldn't bet against the Packers taking receiver, you know. There's probably going to be a situation where one falls in their lap and they feel good about it. But, again, it's just so nice to have – it's hard not to grin because all those receivers they just talked about, all those tight ends, rookie contracts for the most part, you know. I mean, you're set for such a long time that salary cap hit for the wide receiver room is going to be so low for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Goody made a comment yesterday at the presser too. He said, what they're seeing in today's NFL is on average 1.6 players in every draft class re-signs with the team. So out of your entire draft class, less than two on average. So you'd say every 2 years you're signing an extra one, essentially, is what it's saying. But on average, you're only signing one to two players from that draft class to a second contract. So immediately my mind goes to who's up first for contracts in our receiver room. Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. Obviously not this offseason, but next offseason will be the big talk for, are we going to re-sign those two guys? Mm-hmm. You know, probably not going to. You know, unless you get a really, really good hometown discount, you know, that's going to be what it comes down to. That's the tough decision. I don't want to be in Goody's shoes because it's like, If you fast forward 2 years and you have to re-sign one of those guys, you got to make a decision. Who are you re-signing? Romeo Doubs, Mr. Dependable when the game's on the line. Absolute. You know, he's the high point guy right now. Or Christian Watson, who's got that blazing speed. If that hammy's fixed this year, he's going to break out. There's no doubt in my mind. That's a good problem to have, but it's a tough decision to make too, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, and to Jacob's point, that's also why, like, you can get receivers are kind of – they're coming up on that dime a dozen. So if you need to rotate every 4 years, you know, every 3 years, keep picking them up and moving, they can start playing catch at five now. You know, five, six, seven, they're already on their receiver game, so –
Yeah. 2-0 for this in the chat said, I could see Goot pick a wide receiver just for the fifth-year option. The fifth-year option has changed so much. It's like it's an extra added layer of strategy when making those picks in the first round, right?
Well, so. Could I argue that, yeah, like obviously we're all sitting here thinking that we're sitting pretty high and pretty on our wide receiver group, but next year that changes. The year after that changes drastically. And we have to make decisions like we've talked about. Are we going to pay these guys? Are we going to give them the bag? Are we going to give them like absolutely, I don't know, Jerry Rice money? No, we're not. And in my opinion, this is great. We're stacking talent to the point where, and it sounds almost cold-hearted because this is what Goody does, man. It's like, we don't care if you're a hometown hero. Once your contract is up, dude, you got guys in the hopper. We're ready to go. We got guys that maybe are better than you. And no matter what your jersey sells and all that kind of stuff, we're just going to move on. And like I said, like I love Goody as a business owner. If I were to ever start a business, I'd have Goody, you know, as my GM. If I were to ever start a charity, no, he's not my GM. The guy's going to just, anyway.
No, he's phenomenal, man. We actually got another video here real quick if you guys want to hit it since we're kind of talking about Goody. There's a couple sound bites in here. This was on Packers.com as well where he talks about the draft being the lifeblood of what the Green Bay Packers do to build their roster. Let's hit that real quick. It's kind of a short video.
The draft is the lifeblood of this organization. It always kind of has been, right?
The Green Bay Packers select Lucas Vinesse.
The guys in that locker room are counting us to bring in the right kind of guys to help them achieve their goals. You know, the guys we bring in this year have to be prepared for that. They have to be able to fit into to Matt's process and what he wants to do and buy into the culture. And that's one of the things I think I feel really good about right now. You know, not only the culture that we have, but the willingness for all those guys to compete and when new competition comes in to embrace that.
Got his man, touchdown!
Every draft class is different. What we're asking of these guys that we pick is to come in and be positive contributors to our football team. I do think that if you give them the opportunity early to make the mistakes and get to the other side of it, that they can profoundly impact your team in the second half of the season and maybe into the playoffs. You've got to be willing to kind of live through the growth period if you want to get to the other side of it.
What he said there too, he described to a T what happened last year, right, Tim? Like yep. It was you allowed them to make the mistakes. You guys know how I felt about Aaron Rodgers, right? I was a big Aaron Rodgers fan. You're never going to convince me that Goody made the right decision signing him to an extension and then eating that dead money. I just think that's just you bought high, you sold low. It is what it is, right? I don't think he expected that working relationship with Aaron to get to the point where they couldn't make it work, and obviously it was a miscalculation. But one thing I can say, and it's so obvious, if Aaron Rodgers had been the quarterback last year, those young guys wouldn't have got as much an opportunity. There's no doubt about that. Because there would have been two or three players on that roster that Aaron wanted, right? And who's to say you shouldn't? Because the dude has the pelts on the wall. This isn't an Aaron Rodgers dog fest, right? We're not here to bash 12. First ballot Hall of Famer, arguably the greatest thrower of the football in the history of the game. But the fact that they moved on from him and went with Jordan Love is the whole reason that we were able to get those growing pains out of the way. And you've got to tip your freaking cap to Brian Gutekunst, right, Tim? I mean, that dude, it took some – I won't say the English version, but we'll go a little – it took some huevos to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, what do you think, Tim?
I love it, man. That's my GM right there.
What'd you say all year last year, Tim? Let the kids play.
Let the kids play. And, you know, and it comes with growing pains, right? I mean – sometimes you got to let the kid fall down and dust himself off and get up. So, you know, he or she knows what it's like. That's life, right? And it's the same thing in the NFL. You know, you draft these guys because you believe in them. You put them into a system because you believe that they're going to fit and they're going to understand the culture and what we're trying to build here. And you've got to be ready for the fact that they're going to struggle early. And it gets greater later, as they say. You know, not everybody comes in and they're just lights out right away. We see that once in a while, but for the most part, rookies need to develop. And, you know, we're seeing that with a lot of our young players now that are coming through, you know, their journeys. It's the same thing we could say on the defensive side of the ball with guys like Quay Walker, you know, going into his third year right here. This is a pivotal year for the trajectory of his career, you know, and kudos to the Packers for, you know, putting that belief in him and, you know, other young players on this team and letting them learn as they go, because I'm convinced in the NFL, man, the only way to get better is to get snaps and to be out there. And, you know, sometimes you do, you got to just struggle and get over it. And it makes you a stronger player later. Some guys don't. Some guys just struggle and they struggle and they struggle. And then they, you know, they're working at Home Depot. So it's just
they're working at Ola Home Depot.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? You know, it's the NFL. It's, you know, the highest level of football for a reason. So I just think it's cool to see that our GM has that mentality that we're not going to cut and run from guys just because they struggle, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it makes players want to play for that organization too. There's no doubt about it that they're not going to just, everyone isn't walking on, you know, a thin thread, right? It's yep. just, all right, look, we're going to have a chance to grow together. Let's pick each other up. That's what Jordan Love did so well. Ben Holden in the chat said, Jordan Love is Brett Favre first, Aaron Rodgers second. I think that's a very good description, man. Some of those throws Jordan made last year, Emilio, bro, mm-hmm. man, it was just like, yeah, that felt like Favre right there. And some of the montages that Eli and I think it's Eli Berkowitz on Twitter and a couple other people had put together were just phenomenal. Like side-by-side shots of videos of Favre making a throw against the same opponent, right? Like mm-hmm. the Lions or whatever. And then it would go to the Jordan Love throw. It's like, we've seen this movie before, Emilio.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And watching, I still remember that, that throw in Atlanta, it was a flea flicker, the play action pass right off the bat. Oh man, he can absolutely let that thing rip. And yeah. I just seeing him grow alongside the rest of the young guys, like it's Jordan Love is still young, right? He's on this, we're going to get him his second contract, but he's still young. That's not the problem. And I think that, you know, we're just going to keep adding talent. And Goody doesn't care if we're overstocked on talent in one position. I mean, I think that's fine that he turned it into draft capital, all part of the plan. But if he can just get good players and, you know, stick to his board, if it's work, I'm pretty sure Greg was, Cosell was saying every year, you know, teams aren't going to say this, but they aim to get 4 starters out of their draft picks.
Right.
Goody has been hitting that. Right. Goody has been actually making that happen when other guys are just shooting for that. So that's something crazy that, you know, we're lucky to have him. Like Tim said, we're over here saying that
it's my quarterback.
But we're saying that for Goody, right?
Right.
So. That's Goody. What GM, man. That's what GM.
Gangsta Goody, also known as the Gutenator. That's the new nickname.
If you wore the same sunglasses that T.O. wore in that.
Oh, come on. Let's go. It's funny, too, Jacob. I was the shindig we had here at the property that I couldn't say because I've got family members that watch the show every now and again. It was my brother-in-law's 50th birthday. So that I didn't, you know, it was supposed to be a surprise. So me and my nephew are hanging out. You guys know my nephew's a big Vikings fan. We're sitting at the table, you know, eating dinner or whatever. And I was telling him about how funny it was watching Chicago Bears fans react last year, because it was like early in the year, it's like, oh, love's a bust. And about 3/4 of the way through the season, I remember one specific tweet that said, pack it in, boys, they did it again. They did it again, right? And he said, this is exactly what Sammy says. And he said, watching that game against the Vikings, I think it was New Year's Eve, he said, off his back foot, and just he went,
ooh.
He put his, he went, it's not fair. That's what he said. I laugh, bro. Like, yes. That's
that was the back foot to Wicks, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
That's man. When everybody went, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. And we all went, ooh, shit again. We did it again. So we'll see. We'll see if it shakes out. We got a question here earlier in the chat from Tony Holman said, what's your take on Cole Bishop? Cole Bishop's getting talked about a lot, guys, a lot. Ryan, if you guys haven't listened to his pod, he did a safety breakdown. He did 2 pods yesterday. He's just been churning it out with the prospect breakdowns. He did the safety position, and Cole Bishop, I immediately texted him as I heard his take on Cole Bishop. I'm like, dude, I can't figure it out. Like, I told him, I said, are you not worried about the PFF grade? And his immediate response was, well, the year before was good. Right. And it was, I think he was 139th graded safety, not great, but good. Right. In 2022, but in 2023, he was 529th. We broke it down the other day. We were kind of looking at some of the safety statistics. The consensus big board obviously had him in the 97 spot early on. The 33rd team had him at 74, and Daniel Jeremiah, I think his final list, he comes in at 61. Right. So again, he's sitting in the 115 spot for me. But I put this is the largest bonus I've ever put on a player for Greg Cosell. Greg Cosell raved over him. He was just like, he can play anywhere on the field. Mm-hmm. He's got everything essentially. I'm not as high on him as others, but again, my board is very safe in that regard. I think probably 115 isn't too bad of a spot to put him in. How do you guys feel about Cole Bishop? Obviously, we were talking about the wingspan and everything too, if I remember correctly. But Jacob, I'll start with you, man. What do you think about Cole Bishop?
Man, I'll be cool with it around round four. That's where I'm at. I've seen the comparisons to where he's who's that? Harrison Smith, guy can move around the field. And again, it's one
great
of those
communicator, like, right? Great communicator.
Yes, very much. Yes, in that aspect. And the guy that's like, he doesn't need to be the deep safety. Like a lot of times when you look at these safeties, they're like, well, he can't do a single high coverage. And it's like, yeah, we don't need that. We need a box. Like we want a box. We want a guy that can play, maybe play slot. I don't know if you can pull up his positional snaps on that, but it's like, yeah, like we don't need the standalone. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to have Newbin. I love to have all these guys that are, you know, apparently the best safeties. But I think there are some like low draft just gems that are just sitting there. We've talked about. I mean, I know Tim loves. We've talked about Aldapo, which is actually kind of funny now because when as I look, he used to be available with the last pick in the seventh round. This guy's going now in the fourth in PFF drafts. So that's cool. That's cool to actually see that he's moving up. Omar Brown, a guy that I know that Tim loves. I know Tim loves that guy. Trey Taylor, Air Force safety. These are some of the type of players. And Amelia, what's your guy? DTD? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that
him? Yes, so, sir. Taylor Demerson.
Cole Bishop, I see his grades. I just don't. I don't see him being worth that higher draft pick that people are placing him in. I just don't see it, you know? I just don't.
Yeah. What Jacob's talking about is in 2021, 399 snaps for Cole Bishop, 62.8. He was the 479th graded safety. In 2022, he jumped to 75.5 as the 139th highest graded safety. But then last year, 587 snaps, he dropped back to a 65.6 for the 520th. Graded safety. Good size, 6'2", 207 is what it's got here. I think somebody said he was close to 6'3", but I could be wrong. Jake may have those measurements handy if you want to see him. He is only 21 years old. When you were talking about snap count, though, Jacob, let's pull this up real quick. So last year he played the majority of his snaps as a deep safety, 247. He was in the box 180. He was in the slot 97 times. He was kind of mugging the line of scrimmage 38 times, and he played corner 25 snaps. If you go to the year before, though, he played in the box a large majority of the time with 345 snaps. He played slot 208 snaps and deep 101 snaps. So when you look at his grade the year before, his highest grade came the year that he played in the box the most, which is pretty much what everybody's saying. He is a box safety. Now, when you look at his scouting report here, obviously it says Bishop has starting potential as a strong safety and a slot defender, but he must work on his over-aggressiveness tendencies and lack of patience in zone. Packer fans would love this dude because they want more aggressiveness, right? Mm-hmm. As Brady Papinga once said, aggressivity. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if the Packers get a beat on him. Now, the other guy you were talking about was DTD, right? This is Emilio's guy here. Look at the difference. If you remove the name, right? Keep in mind the size, though. Keep in mind the age. If you remove the name, which one would you be more interested in? According to PFF, 2021 DTD, 76. He was the 121st graded safety. In 2022, he was 74.5, 163rd graded safety. And then last year, he jumped to 78.5, the 99th. Graded safety. So you're seeing, I mean, that's a very high floor, right? As compared to Cole Bishop. But the thing that gets me about Cole Bishop is my man Greg Cosell has forgot way more about football than I will ever know. And he is so high on Cole Bishop. I'm like, he is seeing something there, man. He's seeing something. So Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, the other thing too, if those of you are wondering, when Ryan was kind of going through the Dane Brugler breakdown of the safeties, you know, Ryan here on Packernet Podcast, he said, I'm just going to say it, Tyler Newbin's my top safety. And I went,
yeesh.
Yeesh. I'll find this out. I try not to talk about the negative stuff too much. Jacob, I think I asked y'all this in the chat. I don't know if you responded or not. He mentioned that Javon Bullard got a DUI. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, dude. Okay, so I did not hear about that. I looked it up. It seems as if it is true, which, you know.
And he's extremely intelligent. That's what's so weird. You know, I mean, they talk about, hey, he's got, like, extremely high IQ, and then you get a do something like that knucklehead and get a DUI. It's, like, kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, to be honest, everybody makes mistakes, man. I've done some stupid stuff in my life where, like.
Mistakes, Jacob.
Once,
we're going to give him some.
I just mean, like, we really do, like, think about it. We hold a microscope up to these guys to the point where it's like, have they ever, like, did they fart weird? Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, what these guys.
I would attribute a lot of it to they're about to enter the big show, right? It's a lot of pressure. You know, you're like maybe one last hurrah. He was having a little fun and, you know, made a mistake. You know, I'm not making excuses, but no. I think a young player like this and a lot of these, you know, draft picks here are looking at it as like, hey, it's all business after draft day.
Tim,
no more.
I love you, brother.
Magic one in the chat says, roll out the barrels for Bullard.
I love you, Tim, and I love you, Clayton, but like, come on, guys. You remember what it was like to be 17? Imagine that you're 17.
I was an Ivy League scholar when I was 17.
But imagine you're 17 and you have Georgia looking at you. You got freaking, you know, Alabama looking at you. You could not tell me if I could. I'm going to fight the whole world. Like, it's just to have that wind underneath you. It just is what it is. It's the whole evolution of human spirit. It's like you think you're a big, you know what, and then all of a sudden life punches you down. And you realize, oh, no, I'm just kind of a guy. And I think that's something they'd be taking into prospect there.
So Javon Bullard's PFF grades, 2021, 70.4, 2022, 80.4, 2023, 82.8. So
when he's not OWIN, he's pretty good.
Bullard is a versatile secondary player with a fearless mentality behind the wheel. Now, a fearless mentality. Though he isn't an elite athlete, his competitiveness, quickness, and tackling ability project him to a starting role as a nickel defender. I wasn't very big on Bullard. I didn't know a whole lot about him. God almighty. Let's don't go. Like, please, don't.
I can't help you, man.
Don't encourage.
Chat's going hard.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, Jacob was the one who brung Bullard up and we watched the highlight reel and we were like, what is this animal? Tim, you remember it, bro. He was a dog. Like, that dude played really, really aggressive. So I would be okay with Bullard. And again, the whole DUI thing, it is what it is, man. Like you said, people make mistakes. It's just I never heard that, right? And I think Jacob knew the whole time and he was withholding information, Emilio. Do you feel like that too?
I believe that to be true as well.
Yeah, but you ain't got.
We were talking about Cole Bishop. That's who I had Bullard, and I had Bullard and Jaden Hicks higher than Bishop. And now I might have to tweak my board now.
And I'll say this, Emilio, you ain't got no room to talk here. 2-0 for this says DTD sounds like something Rodgers is going to do in the jungles of Brazil when he's supposed to be in training camp.
That's DMT, but close enough.
Close enough. Yeah,
maybe Rodgers will come down to the game in Brazil.
Yeah, you don't know. There's new stuff now. He's been out there licking toads. It's all good.
Yeah. And Drew D in the chat, this is like when you look at Tyler Newbin, this is kind of what you see all over the tape. He said you can't teach instincts, and Newbin has instincts. I call it playing with your eyes. Like, that dude was just always in the right spot. Obviously, his PFF grades would suggest that too. In 2021, PFF grade is 72.6. The 192nd graded safety in college football. In 2022, he jumped to 76.4, making him the 120th graded safety. And then in 2023, he jumped to 89.2, making him the 10th highest graded safety. I think it's funny that people knock PFF, but when you look at the grades, they line up absolutely perfect with how these prospects are kind of ranking out in most cases. Now, Dane Brugler, I think he had Tyler Newbin third on his safety list, second
hold
or
on,
third.
Hold on. We got breaking news here.
Uh-oh.
United Bates.
When you do breaking news, we got to have some kind of soundbite. Let me hit you with something.
Draft news.
Go ahead.
Bullard's DWI was in September of 2022, not something recently. Not justifying just for reference.
Right, yeah.
Thank you. So wait. This is almost 2 years ago?
Yeah.
But Tim, he's 21.7 years old, Tim.
Dude.
You do the math.
Dude, I'm sorry, I can't see you. There's a big nothing burger in the way right now.
Okay. Can I? I won't even say.
Like,
how much money did Jacob pay?
I'm not moving him on my board now. There's no way. Thank you, Bates, for clarifying.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
What were you going to say, Jacob?
No, I just look. I'll reiterate. I've made some stupid decisions in my life. I've never had the aura of having like, hey, you may be a multimillionaire too. Like,
right? Yeah.
It's just we gotta cut these guys some slack, man. These are young men that are just thrust into fame, thrust into money. And honestly, like that's why I love guys like came out. Eric's gonna cut that. Aaron Jones types, you know what I mean? Like guys that really do come in there and they just they do their job and they make everybody better and they just kind of like grind it out. It's like it's cool, man. It's just nice to see there. He is in camp.
Chad is so out of control.
It's so good.
let's give a toast to Buller for not screwing up again. Anyway, he's gonna be a Packer and we're all gonna be like, oh god.
Now watch me take him into Vondre and they're like, just don't go out, dude. Just don't go out.
People, there's rumors. There's this myth that there's a place called the Oval Office that exists. It's not real. Don't even go looking for it. All right. It does not exist.
You sure about that?
Tyler Newbin's scouting report. Tyler Newbin says Newbin possesses the athleticism, football IQ, and talent as a run stopper to be a versatile and impactful safety in any scheme. He would likely make the most plays in a system that consistently uses a two deep coverage, and allowing him to play free, robber, and box safety roles. It just so happens we just went and signed the best deep safety, one of the best deep safeties in the league, right? So that would be a perfect compliment. I'm just saying, man, little enforcer. So, yeah. With that being said, all right, Drew, come on now, buddy. What are we doing? All right, so anything else you guys want to hit on that we've talked about so far? This is your fault, Emilio. You keep grinning. This is your fault.
I do. Emilio's pouring gas on the fire.
Jacob's over here walking around.
On my knee.
We pride ourselves on people being able to hang out and talk in the chat. And as long as you're not being disrespectful for each other, everybody's got an opinion. It's cool. But you guys are pushing it today. And I know it's my fault. I'm not going to sit here and shy away from it. Anything else you guys want to add before I play a really cool draft day video of a trade that happened? I think it was last year or the year before.
I have one thing. I started a new job recently and I get to work with a bunch of really great people. And there's the one guy. He's so from Jersey that like he's, you know, everything he says, oh yeah, yeah. And he asked me, he goes, what's your team? And I'm like, yeah, it's the Packers, bro. Like I'm a diehard Packer fan. He goes, oh my god. He goes,
Hey, that's just the way we talk in the clink.
He goes, you took my boy McKinney. He's like, I can't even understand how the hell you guys can enter. Like it's evil. It's evil what you did to me. It's evil. And I was just laughing. I'm sitting there cutting it up. And he goes, they took Saquon from me and they took McKinney. And now what do they want me to do? They want me to sit here and take a fucking quarterback? What am I gonna do? And I'm just sitting here just losing it.
Jacob sounds more Boston than the guy he's describing, probably.
Or Boston.
He sounds like somebody that works at Schlotsky's Deli over on Pellissippi Parkway.
Jersey Mike.
Oh, Jersey? Yeah. sounds a little more.
God, I can't.
Kind of Boston, man.
Gabagool. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Gabagool. Emilio's like, man, you're making my quarter Italian flare up over here.
Yeah, they don't like you over there, Emilio.
Yeah. Too open this says, you work with Jersey Mike's cousin? Oh, God. Anybody else got anything? Emilio, say something, for God's sake.
Jersey Mike has some good subs, man.
He does. Yeah. I'm crying.
Filled with oil.
Anybody
got anything? Pump your own gas in Jersey.
What'd you say, Emilio?
I said you can't pump your own gas in Jersey. Somebody else has to do it.
Okay. They charge you for it. What's going on out here? Is that all you got? Is that it?
Just trying to, yeah. You said just gift you something. That's all I got.
It's definitely something.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
Magic One says Jacob could have been on The Sopranos.
Hey.
Don't encourage. He wears all the hats around here. He can play the mad Italian. He can also play the.
For those of you listening on the pod,
you know what I mean. He can pull the country off. He got the whole thing. So.
Oh, SDN 40. Don't take your car to the bar.
Guys, listen. We're almost to the draft. We just about made it. So we're gonna have a little fun, man. We've worked our rear ends off, getting ready for this draft. I finished the board last night, and I literally leaned back in the chair and went, because it took forever, man. Let me give you all one last glimpse here, and then we'll play this video. I want to show you the horizontal board and just how much information is on this thing. It is absolutely wild. Let's see here. Let's pop it up here, right? And let's zoom out. Let's just give you kind of a – you're not going to be able to see the names, obviously, but look at this board. And, Emilio, I've got you a copy. We're going to get it printed off tomorrow. So nice. When you're here at the house, obviously you'll have a laminated copy of this that we can work. We'll also have the 33rd teams as well. Every prospect with a grade on them, right? You got the positions running horizontally, hence the horizontal board. And they're obviously graded vertically, right? So you can kind of see where the clusters of positions are. Like I said, right around the time the Packers pick, there should be a pretty good choice of cornerbacks there in that range, as you see over here to the right, with like a – potentially a Kool-Aid McKinstry, Nate Wiggins. I don't think Terry and Arnold's going to fall that far, to be honest with you, but that's where I've got him. I've got him a little lower than most. Cooper DeJean will be there. Some people consider him more of a safety than a corner. You can, you know, work it out however you want. Ennis Rachel all sitting there as well. You see the tackle depth that we talked about the entire process, absolutely loaded with tackle. When we're talking about wide receivers too, at the top, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, and Malik Nabers. Some would put Brian Johnson Jr. in there as well. He's not there on my board. But then as you get down here, look at how this stuff gets bunched up at the wide receiver position. Like, look at all these receivers in this column right here, man. That's what we were just talking about, right? They're all bunched up there together. So, and then the other thing, too, when you get to the safety position, you got Tyler Newbin at the top on my board, then Javon Bullard, right? Don't take your bar to the car or the car to the bar or whatever it was. You got Oladapo, then you got this cluster that Daniel Jeremiah was talking about, where they're all kind of bunched up right there. And you just take your pick. What kind of DB do you want there? What kind of safety do you want? So the linebacker position is another big need. You see big void at the top of the draft is linebacker position. The board reflects that. Then you got Junior Colson, Peyton Wilson, Cedric Gray, Edgerrin Cooper, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. After the final edition with Daniel Jeremiah's, Edgerrin Cooper officially leapfrogged Jeremiah Trotter Jr., which makes me feel a lot better about my horizontal board. So you guys know I'm still big on him too. But
are you selling that for $9.99 or
actually anyone who's a Patreon member will have it in there. So we've already shared it over there. We didn't plan that, but that's a pretty good segue. Let's do this real quick. So let's go ahead and give a shout out to the newest Patreon members, which is Mr. Roger Davis. We got Mr. Billy, also known as BJ Morris. We got Damon Stewart, and we got TK Knowles. Appreciate y'all supporting us there on Patreon. Damon Stewart, big shot there, man. $10 pledge, which is kind of cool. So this is just stuff that we're trying to add to kind of, I don't know, to kind of spice it up a little bit for the Patreon members. Obviously, we're going to be giving away in round one of the draft, we're going to be giving away an autographed Paul Hornung jersey. It's got the accolades sewn onto the back of the jersey as well, nickname, all that good stuff, autographed by the Golden Boy. Anyone who is a Patreon member going into round one, try to get it in the night before, because there's no guarantee if you wait till the day of the draft when you become a Patreon member. I may already have the giveaway set up, but we're going to spin the wheel during the first round, and whoever it lands on out of our Patreon members, they're going to win this autographed Paul Hornung jersey. So it's really, really exciting there. So, again, appreciate y'all supporting the show. It's just a way for us to give back for y'all always showing support. So
can I say one thing real quick? My father, I gifted him a Paul Hornung football like 2, 3, 4 years ago. He just texted me like as we were starting this draft. He goes, "Hey, man, I don't got nothing to do with this football." He's like, "If you want to donate it to your podcast, that'd be cool." And so I thought, all right, that's cool. So if you guys want to just have an extra incentive, maybe we give like a third, fourth, or consolation prize. I'll give you a Paul Hornung autographed football as well.
Cool.
Add that.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we remind me of this too, Jacob? Why don't we on day two during the second and third round, why don't we do the Paul Hornung?
That I like it.
Boom. So we'll anyone.
Put everybody's name on a dartboard and I'll try to hit it.
No, we're not doing that, Amelia. I may have the pups up here. I'm not trying to go to the emergency.
Oh no, yeah, no, we don't need that.
We'll do that with the Patreon members again as well. So that'll be good. So just make sure if you want to join the Patreon group, people are going, you talked about it. I don't know how to join it. There's a link in the description of this video that'll send you there, or you can just go to Patreon and search Packer Fan Total Access. you can find it there. So yeah. Too old for this. Or hear me out. Just send it to my house. There you go.
So. That's fair. That's fair.
All right. We're at the hour 4 minute mark, and I wanted to play this video, so we're going to hit it real quick, okay? And again, I'm going to get that PDF file if I can. If not, I'm just going to send the exact link to the horizontal board to everyone in Patreon this evening. It's pretty much finished up now. But this video came, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, it was Monty Austinfort, who was the general manager, I think, for the Cardinals at the time, I believe. And this, we were talking about trades, right? And there's a lot of rumors the Packers could trade up. They could trade back. We're all team trade back here. I think we would all agree with that. But, you know, people talk about how it's just so easy. They make it sound as if it's so easy to trade during draft day. Goody talked about, and somebody asked a great question during the presser yesterday, leading up to the week of the draft, you kind of already had some conversations. You're setting the stage for a potential draft. Hey, if we were to want to move up here or move back, what would you be willing to give? Okay, cool. And then when you get to draft day, it's okay. Is that offer still there? And again, like Jacob said yesterday on the pod, it's not like you got a ton of time. You got 10, 15 minutes, whatever the time is, right, to try to pull that trade off. Let's go inside the war room here for with Monty Austinfort and the Arizona, I think it was the Arizona Cardinals, whatever team it was. Watch them try to throw this trade together last second on the fly in the draft room. This is really cool stuff.
Paul Houston. I you know what? Let me call Nick. Hey, bud, are you guys still interested? Well, what are you saying here? Yeah, right, and I text you back that wasn't enough. Yep. Give me 1 minute. I'll call you back. Okay, so they're still here. Hey, you got her out, right? Okay. Tell me what's the most you would do? Okay, thank you. Okay, so 12, 33. We're gonna ask for 104 and a next year first. Okay, so that's Houston. How much time?
6 minutes.
Okay, and then just, okay, I got it, all right. Okay, here's what it'd be. It'd be 12, 33, 104, and a 24 first for 3 straight up. All right, give me a minute. Make that 24 a 2. At 96, it's gotta drop. 105. Okay, called in. Great.
Wow.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the third pick to the Houston Texans.
Okay, so we're interested in coming up to five. Hey, bud. Okay, so we're back at 12 now. We want to come up to 7, possibly. Okay, you're either picking or you're gonna listen to what I got. Okay, all right. I'll look at it. Thanks. Okay, so 12 to 5. Right, Vegas up there, so I know. Just keep these separate. And then let's start brewing up below that. Atlanta. It's going to be something similar down below. How much time? 7. Okay. So 12 to 6. It's for 12 and 34 for 6 and something late. See if he comes back. Hey, bud, how's it looking? You're going to pick? Anything I can do? Okay, thanks, bud. See y'all picking. Hey, bud, what's, did that, what we're thinking? Yeah, let me put something together here. Okay. Okay, so, hey, on this Vegas deal now, talk to me about this Vegas deal. Is that an even deal? Hey, so here's what it looks like. What deal do we like better, the Detroit deal or the Vegas deal? Hey, bud, how are you? You guys picking here, or what are you thinking? Yeah, I think we'd do 34, and then we'd need something back. No, we wouldn't do a 24-1.
Get out of here.
Why don't you just take a look at what it would be? Okay, thanks. Detroit. Hey. Okay, so 12, go ahead. 12, 34, and 168. For 6 and 81. Okay, call it in. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah! Yeah!
Charlie.
There you go.
Let's go.
Hello?
Is this Paris?
Yes, sir.
Paris, hey, this is Monty Osipor at the Cardinals. How you doing, buddy?
How cool is that, man?
Well,
how much time? How much time?
Right, yeah. And hey, you notice how we
literally how much time? And all I could keep thinking of was,
that's what she said.
Like, seriously. I love how he had a point, man, right? Get on the board. All right, cool. Write down these offers. And he literally called what was like 4 or 5 teams, right? Yep. All right, what's the offer? Now you got it on the board. Let's compare them real quick. 6 minutes left. Clock's ticking. Go. It's just, I love it, dude. Absolutely love mm-hmm. it. But I know the fat, out of shape Caucasian man sitting on his couch with the Cheeto stains on his whitey tighties. You know, he's what a horrible pick. You know, do the voice for me, Jacob.
It was such a horrible pick.
I was going for more of the Italian approach, but we're going to end it with this. I thought it'd be cool to kind of show that again, just to take you inside the war room. You absolutely love that stuff. We'll end it with this, though. M. Smitty says, pull that back up for me, Jake, if you don't care that one. Here you go.
I lost it.
M. Smitty said, draft day, Russ Ball as Jennifer Garner, right? So we'll Diggity. Flash up her for you one more time.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Emilio said, oh.
Wow.
So there's your cap all there. Well, that's what you get on this show, Emilio. That's a bonus. That's free.
That's a freebie.
So, anybody else got anything else? We're at an hour and 11 minutes. The closer we get to the draft, the longer these shows go. You got nothing, Tim?
No, I was I lost it. I thought I had. Oh, yeah. This would be kind of fun. How about a mock of who the Packers won't draft? How about we maybe tomorrow we just do a draft where we take kickers and – you know, like wide receiver. Let's trade up in the first round for a wide receiver.
I think Tim's right. Let's draft mm-hmm. like wide receivers, running backs, maybe some I don't know, a lot crazy. Of D linemen. Let's do it.
What I think would be really, really cool is if we did a 3-round mock tomorrow, since it's the night before the draft, and we could pull up my horizontal board and literally take them off as they come off. Like, Tim, if you could work the draft itself. You know, and okay. I can have my horizontal board taking them off, and we could kind of show where there's going to be a potential opportunity. If Goody's board looked like our board, there would be an opportunity to potentially trade up. Like maybe if we do it the slow creep through the top 10 or whatever, and you get to like pick 8 and you go, okay, this position group's starting to fall. Let's be ready around the 15, 16 spot to potentially trade up. Or we get to 25 and trade back and show where these clusters sit. That would be cool too. There's a couple of different directions we could go, but also we had a ton of stuff to talk about today too. So there's liable to be just as much, if not more, to talk about tomorrow. You know what
could
I mean?
Be, maybe this would be fun. Could we do a timer? Let's implement our own self timer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We could do that. Yeah.
We've actually we've been pretty luxurious at the fact that we get to sit here and decide who we're going to pick, but like we talked about, it's once the clock is a ticking, your brain starts a thinking.
That's what she said.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it. That's all.
Emilio, why are you laughing?
Emilio, that's the rule. When you come up for the draft, right? Friday night. We're gonna have a ton of pizza. We're gonna have cannolis. I'm gonna try to get 30 cannolis here, bro. We're going.
It's gonna...
But again, man, before you step in the house,
wash your hands. Wash your.
You know what I'm saying, man? We touching those cannolis without washing those grubby hands.
That's the truth.
I know you've been handling those chicken cutlets. So.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll do it. They'd probably be covered in grease, actually.
Covered in mulch.
Yeah,
taking mulch out of his.
I'll just come straight from work.
All right. Let's get out of here. Anybody got anything else?
It says Goot's board is just a picture of Bears fans crying. I'd agree. Hey, they have 4 picks, guys. 4 picks. Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do. I guarantee you still suck.
I'll tell you, man, still good questions out there, too. Drew D says, anybody else get the feeling Powers Johnson is falling? There haven't been a lot of people talking about him, that's for sure.
Fall right to us at 25.
Well, that would be sick because you could pop him in to right guard. Am I thinking right? No, Powers Johnson just played center, right? What am I thinking here? Let me see here real quick. Let me look at the board.
All right. I was told that I was a psycho for picking. come on, Magic.
Magic.
All right, this is a fruit shirt, all right? I'm feeling fruity.
You're crazy, man. Right. Yeah, so Jackson Powers Johnson, last year, all of his snaps, 829 snaps for center. The year before, he played right guard. So might be kind of cool if you could get Powers Johnson, plug him into right guard, and then move him to center as Josh Myers exits stage left next year.
Diggity.
Yeah, you guys remember when y'all made fun of me for drafting a center in the first round? Just saying.
I didn't make fun of you.
I know you didn't, Clayton. You're one of my friends.
I'm a good friend.
You can blow.
I'm a good friend, but you see me looking earlier. Mandy hid my beard somewhere. I was going to put the beard on again, but I can't find it anywhere. So maybe we'll break it out for the
draft. He's probably fumigating it right now.
Exactly.
Have you guys heard this at all? J. Cole.
I heard JPJ has an attitude problem. I heard it on one of these shows on Fox Sports. You got to be careful with that stuff the week of the draft. Like, the DUI wasn't fake, right? You see that stuff and you're okay, that's a real, but the week of the draft, what happens is these teams will start putting information out to try to get guys to drop on the boards to make them comfortable. Now, here's what I did hear about Jackson Powers Johnson. One of his top perks, and it's in all of the scouting reports, the dude is nasty. Like, he's willing to get in there and be that enforcer in the interior. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Get that dude in there and bloody some people up, man. I want somebody in the pit that's going to – I'm talking about crack some skulls, right?
Better than laying face down in the turf.
Let me ask you this. We've had Mike Wall on many times. Y'all think he's got an attitude? I think he does.
Yeah.
You got to have it. And he said it, didn't he, Emilio? Like, he said, I step in the room with a bunch of offensive linemen. I can tell who's got it and who doesn't right off the bat.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. That's That's a good thing when it comes to offensive linemen. So, all right, let's get out of here. My wife's going to kill me. Hour 17. Thank y'all for hanging out with us, putting up with us, all that good stuff. William Gould says he likes the timer thing. Let's toss it around. We may do a mock draft tomorrow, one final mock draft, and do it with a timer. That would be a lot of fun. I could have my board ready to go and just kind of, you know, fly through. We don't have to go by my board, but that's definitely what I will be kind of steering my decision towards. I'm cool with it, though. Yeah. So, all right. We're out. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Thank y'all for Tim, Emilio, Jacob. Thank y'all for going over a little bit here, man. This was a lot of fun. Again, don't forget about the draft party. We're going to be live for all 7 rounds. It's going to be absolutely awesome. So make sure that you're subscribed to the channel, all that good stuff. If you're watching on X right now, we got a bunch of people on there. Click on my profile to send you to YouTube. You can subscribe to the channel there. Put that notification, that hit that bell icon. That way you get notified anytime we go live. We typically do at least one show every day. In some cases, we do 2 shows a day. And we are going to be live, like I said, for the entirety of the draft. It's going to be an absolute blast. So, guys, thank y'all for your time.
For those of you listening on the pod,
thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Come a tackle, take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.